Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the NOLA Rundown. This is Will Osgood. I have Jordan Grove alongside me, as usual. Pretty much we're the only two people you can count on consistently being here. Ha ha ha. And I believe Jason Bernos will be joining us momentarily. And we may have an unusual straggler in Trey Sarver joining us as well. We're not going to actually be talking unless the conversation just somehow leads its way there, naturally. We're not planning on talking any NBA or really any sports whatsoever on this episode. This is actually going to be our second episode of what we're dubbing the NOLA Rundown Culture Cast. And so tonight we'll be talking about our favorite brews from South Louisiana and elsewhere. And so when we say that, we're talking about beer and coffee, but also other forms of alcohol besides beer, which certainly there's plenty of that is popular and plenty to go around in New Orleans as well. So without further ado, let's kind of get into it. So Jordan, I know last weekend you made a trip to, correct me if I'm wrong in the name of it, but the Oak Barley, is that correct?
That is not right.
The Barley
Oak. Yes, the Barley Oak.
There we go. My bad.
Yeah, so my wife and I, as an early Father's Day gift, because my wife has decided to pick up a shift this weekend, she said that I can go anywhere that I want to go. She'd be my designated driver. And I just had to make the decision of where to go. So what I decided to do was go to a little town called Mandeville. It's about 50 minutes or so east of where I live here in Baton Rouge. There's two places that I've been wanting to go. One is the Barley Oak, like you mentioned. I haven't been in years. I dig it. It's a really neat place right there on the lake. Cool place to go have some drinks on the patio. You're overlooking the lake. Just a really chill spot. The other place is a brew pub, gastro pub, however you want to call it, called Old Rail Brewing Company. And that really was my main destination of where I wanted to go.
That just sounds cool.
Yeah, so the reason why they call it Old Rail is there used to be an old railroad that cut through that area. It was the old Illinois Central Railroad station, railroad line, and it would go, if any of our listeners, anybody is familiar with the area on the North Shore, Covington, Abita Springs, Mandeville, a railroad line cut through all that area. Well, it's long now since been defunct. So what St. Tammany Parish did is they bought the line, ripped up all the railroad tracks, made the track itself bike trails, and then they built an entertainment depot called the Mandeville Trailhead right there where an old train station used to be. So across the street, Old Rail built their brewery/restaurant. And really, it's a beautiful building. You can go on Google Images, just type in Old Rail Brewing Company, and you'll see the pictures of the place. It looks like if someone took a warehouse in New Orleans and just renovated it. It's got all that really fine wrought iron work on the front, got a really great patio. The inside's got just the lacquered concrete, browned over, just a really nice, clean looking place and inviting. That's what I look for whenever I go to places. You know, it's is it inviting whenever you step in? And this place definitely was. And we had a really good time. I had a really good time. I don't know about my wife. She said, "Oh, I didn't get that drunk."
Yeah. Well, I'm sure she at least said she did, right?
Yeah. I asked her too. I'm like, "Hey, how drunk was I?" She's like, "If you would have had like one or two more beers, you would have been over the edge." I'm like, "All right."
All right, that's the sweet spot right there.
Yeah.
But if I recall correctly, obviously we're friends on Facebook and all that. Saw you talking about before it that there was supposed to be like a special brew that it sounded like was pretty exclusive. They only made like two barrels or two. You know what I'm talking about, but right? Wasn't there one you were really trying to get to catch?
There was. I was supposed to go. What I was wanting to go to is there's my favorite brewery in the state. One of them really is Gnarly Barley, and it's located in Hammond. So 50 minutes to get to Mandeville. Hammond's about 30 minutes, depending on how fast you drive.
Yeah.
They make some killer beers. Like, I really dig on them. And they were having a special release. It's called Green Spaces. It's an experimental IPA that they're releasing. So I was really trying to get out there, but I'm a father to three kids under four. So things come up. All the dads out there probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Stuff came up with them. So right whenever we were getting ready to head out the door, I checked my phone just to see, if any of the beers left that they were releasing, and I saw that they were sold out in 2 hours. So I'm like, all right, time to call an audible. So that's what really made us wind up at Old Rail instead of Hammond and Gnarly Barley.
Gotcha. Well, I'm sure that would have been enjoyable, but it sounds like you had a good time anyway. Certainly the North Shore can be a nice place to hang out, and they definitely have some good beer in that part of Louisiana. So
it's a growing scene, man. Like you've got Gnarly Barley, which was ranked recently as one of the fastest growing breweries in the country. You've got Old Rail, which doesn't distribute their brews, but they're really establishing a name for themselves as being a place that you want to go and check out their beers. They only distribute their beers in kegs to the Barley Oak. So it's the only other place outside of the restaurant that you can go and check them out. And on the North Shore, too, you've got Abita Brewing. You've got Covington Brewing. So you've got all the brewery really that started it all in Abita. Covington probably makes the best strawberry beer in the state. And it's located right there in downtown Covington, so it's a cool little area to go to. Gnarly Barley is not far off. There is also Low Road Brewing in Hammond, which I haven't made it out to, but they feature a lot of their beers on tap. There's also one in Ponchatoula as well that makes some pretty good beers. So the beer scene in Louisiana, North Shore in particular, is rapidly expanding, and it's fun times if you're a beer fan and living in the state.
Yeah, absolutely. now you're making me for those of you. Those of our listeners who don't know, I no longer live in Louisiana, unfortunately, unfortunately, because now you're making me want to come back for a trip and spend all my time at the different breweries you just mentioned on the North Shore. I remain curious, certainly, about the Southeast Louisiana, especially craft beer scene. And I'm trying to think if I've ever had a Gnarly Barley, even, to be honest. Do you know how far kind of their reach is in terms of distribution?
It's mostly just in the state, little distribution into Mississippi, but they're not far at all.
Yeah, and they're fairly new, aren't they?
Yeah, they opened up I want to say about 5-6 years ago, so they haven't been around too terribly long, but they're really making a name for themselves in the state.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't quite reached the level that, say, Parrish Brewing has. That's pretty
yeah.
much the brewery that if people are going to name drop a brewery in Louisiana, it's going to be Parrish. They haven't quite reached that status yet, but I feel like with what they keep doing, they're well on their way.
Yeah. Yeah, and kind of like you said, probably Abita also. As far as name dropping, at least kind of nationally, that's the one I feel like most people know. But yeah, maybe within Louisiana, yeah, might be Parrish. Looks like we have Trey on the line. He actually beat Jason, which I guess shouldn't be a surprise, but you know, whatever. What's up, man?
Especially considering he gave me the wrong number to call in to begin with.
Yeah, well that might be the problem. He might still be confused about what number to call in on.
I hope he's calling in on that one. I hope he calls in on it all night.
Yeah, that would be something he would do. So Trey, what's your kind of experience, if you will, with Louisiana beer?
With Louisiana beer? I like Tin Roof. Out of Baton Rouge, and I like some Abitas.
Mm-hmm.
I think Louisiana is the only place I've ever been where men drinking strawberry beer was acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is not a normal thing around the country.
No.
So it took me a long time to try the strawberry harvest for that reason. I mean, they make a joke out of it in Beer Fest. Remember in Beer Fest?
Yeah, they do.
When they say, no, that wasn't the recipe for the beer. We gave you the recipe for a strawberry beer. And then someone got shot over it.
Yeah. But, you know, it's also the only state that people really take their daiquiris seriously and get them in go cups and get Everclear put in their daiquiris and everything else too. So we got a unique drinking culture down here.
True.
How about this? So you're allowed to get go cups. Daiquiri places have drive throughs.
Yep.
Yet open container is the same in Louisiana as it is anywhere else. That feels like entrapment. Drive through at daiquiris feels like entrapment.
Maybe a little bit. Yep.
They just put a piece of tape over it. All good. Fuck a piece of tape. Really? That's going to keep you out of jail?
Just don't put your straw.
You better hope that piece of tape does more than that, just in case you end up in jail.
Yeah, just lift the lid up a little bit and slurp it off the top and then retape it.
It feels like a trap.
I say that we have a unique drinking culture as I'm drinking out of my Oktoberfest liter mug that I got there and poured three beers into it. So,
well, let's hone in on the strawberry beer thing just for a second. As y'all mentioned, that's an acceptable beer to have. And it comes out usually right after Mardi Gras or so, kind of for crawfish boil season and spring, I guess you could say. We're basically in summer now. It's, you know, routinely at least close to 100 degrees every day. Is that a good summer beer, would you say, if you have them on you, if they're still being sold where you are?
I can see why someone wants to drink it in the summer, but if I'm going to go fruit with the beer, I go more for the lemon zest type of beers.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like a summer ale from Sam Adams, even though that's not Louisiana, but
right.
flavor
well,
like
yeah.
That's what I would go for.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Corona,
like I'm not a big fan of fruity beers, period. So the strawberry beer, I'm not into. The Straw Gator by Vita, I don't really dig on too much. You've kind of seen, like, if you're really into craft beer, you've seen almost like these fruit cocktail type of beers where it's like real thick, juicy, fruity beers that that look like you really just need to pour a shot of vodka in it and mix it up and drink it. I don't want that. Because I can buy some berries down at the market, toss them in a blender with a shot of vodka, and just go and sip on that in the back patio. You know, what I really want, if it's a hot day and I'm out there, you ever wonder, like, why the hell do we grill whenever it's like 100 degrees outside? Why do we grill in hot weather?
I've always wondered that. That, yeah, it's really odd to me.
But regardless, like, if I'm out there and I'm grilling, I'm sweating my ass off, and I got the towel, and I'm in my sandals, and I look like your favorite black uncle out there, like, flipping chicken on the grill, then I want, like, a lager. Like, I want a crisp, refreshing lager. Like, my favorite beer to knock back in the summer, really, is Founders PC Pilsner. It's a hoppy pilsner, and it really just hits the spot for me.
Founders,
not gonna lie, I pretty much drink Yingling year round.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind Yingling. Like, it's not bad. Like, I cut my teeth on stuff like that. Like, that's what I was drinking whenever I was below the legal drinking age, and my parents were like, I was drinking at your age. Whenever I was growing up in the 70s and 60s, so here, have a beer. Your ass ain't going anywhere anyway, so just have here. Have a Schlitz.
I feel like that was a shot.
Yeah, and Yingling. Do y'all agree? Yingling is probably the best, like, cheap beer that you can get. If you can get it, you
it's
can't
definitely
get it
the best, like, bang for your buck.
Yeah.
So, like,
you're spending Bud Light money, but you're getting better quality than any of those Bud Light, Coors Light, name them, they're all the same beers, even though you're paying that price.
Yeah.
So, like, this is
not going to go as far as saying you're getting craft beer quality, but you're getting almost that, probably, yeah, that, but pretty much, and you're paying
cheap.
Yeah. Like, usually, what, $3 a pint at most bars?
Yeah.
About
$3.50, something like that. It's not expensive at all.
10 of those, it's a $30 tab. It's not bad. As opposed to some of those craft beers, now we're talking $70, $80 tabs.
Mm-hmm. I really like craft beer, but also really like trying cheap beer. Because it's such a difference. And I like knowing the roots of beer drinkers in America and beer drinkers throughout history. So I want to know, like, what my dad was drinking, what my grandfather was drinking, what his father was drinking. So Miller has actually been really cool about reproducing old timey beer recipes. They did it recently with a beer called Old Tankard. It was a beer that was really popular in the 1940s. So I tried that one. They just released Hams, which was an incredibly popular beer in the Midwest in the 1950s, 1970s. So, I reach for that. If it's a beer that I've never seen before, I'm going to buy a six-pack and drink it, especially if it's cheap. Like, I can buy a six-pack of Hams for $4, and I think it's one of the better bargains out there and also one of the better-tasting beers out there as well.
Hmm.
I can fall for a good label sometimes. When you're at a store that has a bunch of beers, like a Total Wine, which I don't know why Louisiana doesn't have Total Wine. It's a shame. It's like Toys R Us for adults. But you get a place that has, like, a whole aisle, two aisle, like supermarket aisles devoted to beers, you can find some crazy stuff. And I've definitely fallen for some just funny labels, and I'll drink a beer just based off that.
Like, even wine, like, I don't really drink wine too much. I'm not really a wine person, but my dad and my stepmom love wine. And because Father's Day was recently, I'm out shopping for some wine for my dad. And I'm like, I don't know any of this. So I just shopped the labels and got him a bottle of wine with a cool-ass label. I'm like, here you go. Like, and I told him straight up, I'm like, I don't know what I was looking for, but I thought the label was really cool.
My move, if I buy wine for somebody as a gift, because pretty much every celebrity has a wine now, I just figure out which person they like. And I'm like, hey, this is their wine. But if it sucks, it's like, well, it's your fault for liking that sucky person in their wine. But wine's good. Wine's good when you're smoking, because wine has a different kind of drunk than liquor and beer does, and that wine drunk just so happens to go perfectly with the feeling that you get when you're high.
I don't smoke only because I work for the government, and that's frowned upon. So I.
Jeff Sessions will find you.
Yeah. But I get what you're going. I get what you're saying.
Well, speaking of,
it's my giveaway at the bar. If I order a house cab, they're like, "Yeah, Trey's high."
Yeah.
Well, like, the only time I really want to drink wine is whenever I go to an Italian restaurant, because then if I order wine with whatever Italian dinner I'm eating, I feel like I'm Tony Soprano.
I feel like I'm broke at the end of the meal.
That too.
Yeah, that happens.
Go from Tony Soprano to Al Bundy real quick.
Real quick.
Well, speaking of the government, though, and laws, something that can inhibit or promote a thriving and growing craft beer scene is the local laws as they relate to alcohol, as they relate to brewing and all those different things. And I lived in Mississippi for a little while, and the laws were not helpful to promoting a quality craft beer scene. The same is relatively true here in Texas. But Jordan, you probably would know a lot about this. And I did a little research before we came on, but I couldn't really find a lot. What are the laws like in Louisiana, especially as they relate to the craft beer scene? And are they promoting a growing craft beer scene, or are they inhibiting or perhaps even prohibiting the growth?
So it really all depends on who the governor is. Surprisingly enough, whenever Jindal was in office over here, the ATF didn't enforce as strongly as it does now under Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
There's been going back to talking about Parrish, they used to do an annual event whenever they released their Grand Reserve. It's their they brew a barley wine, they age it for a year, and then they bottle it and release it. And so they dedicated a whole event to it called Grand Reserve Day. You could buy your ticket through their website. It came with a glass to commemorate the event. You got so many fills. If you purchased the ticket, you got 10 fills. So you can go around to different stations. They had different casks set up. You could also go into the tap room. But you got 10 fills of your cup. That is more than enough with the beer that they're serving for you to be lit at those 10. But it was a fun event. They had bands playing. They had food trucks there. It was a great event. I went twice and had a blast both times. The ATF over here decided now under Edwards that you can't do that because Parrish is a brewery, and the percentage of food to alcohol that they serve far exceeds what is allowable under Louisiana state law. So they determined that they can't put on that event. Tin Roof did a really cool event too that called the Iron Brewer. So what they would do is there's the largest home brewing group in the city of Baton Rouge would get together. Uh-huh. They'd split into teams. They'd go to Tin Roof and they would set up each given a certain criteria of a beer, and they would brew that beer based on that criteria. People would come. The admission fee is canned goods that were donated to the Greater Baton Rouge Food Bank. So they'd raise all these total, I think 1 year they raised like 500 pounds of food to give to the food bank, you know, stuff like that, really good stuff. And then people would go and be able to try all the beers there, and they'd vote, and someone was crowned winner of Iron Brewer and la-di-da, you know, but it was held at a brewery. This year, they said, no, you can't have it at Tin Roof because you're drinking beer on a brewery premises. You can't do that. So they're like, all right, well, we're going to have it at Mockler Beverage. That's one of the biggest distributors here of beer. Huge grounds to distribute on, right there off the interstate. Great access, easy in, easy out, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They had it lined up. They had the paperwork signed, everything good to go. Then all of a sudden at the last minute, ATF said, actually, no, we've reviewed the laws and determined that, no, you actually can't have this. So it got stopped at the 11th hour for them to go ahead and follow through with Iron Brewer. You've had startup breweries, too, that are looking at establishing breweries in this state and decided, no, actually, the laws for breweries are a little too prohibitive, so we're going to take our new brewery and go set up in a place like Oregon. You've seen people threaten to leave the state, too, based on the alcohol laws and the brewery laws, like Parrish. Andrew Godley is the owner of Parrish Brewing, and he has threatened several times that if the law becomes any more prohibitive, he's going to look out of state. That would take a big hit because he distributes a lot of beer here. People snatch up his beer, and it really increases the economy here in this state to have a big-time brewer that – people want to travel and buy their beer for. So there's a lot of prohibitive rules here, but it's all upon what the ATF is feeling that particular day, especially under which administration.
That makes sense.
So it's a really dry topic to talk about. It's not very fun to talk about, but it kind of gives you a little insight as to why the Louisiana beer scene hasn't grown as much as it should have.
Right. Well, I'm a nerd, so I enjoy these kinds of conversations. But we've talked a little bit about some of the best breweries, some of the innovations. Let's get down to what is your favorite beer from Southeast Louisiana or from Louisiana? And let's start with Trey here.
Ooh. I'm trying to give a better answer than the basic white boy answer. But the reason why the basic white boys like it so much is because it's so good. So I'm going to go with Turbo Dog. It is a basic white boy beer, though.
That's okay. It happens.
Like, I'm judging myself for it, but that's all right.
So best beer in the state is that's super tough.
Your favorite. Maybe not best, but your favorite.
That's also a super tough question. I'm actually going to say this one because I can go down to the store and get it fresh anytime I want. It really doesn't matter the store. It's always available to me locally. And it's a beer that I keep stock in my fridge. And that's Gnarly Barley Radical Rye. It's It's just a really good overall beer.
Right on. I'm gonna. So I mean, we haven't really mentioned them at all yet, and I mean, granted, I admit I don't have as much experience in the overall New Orleans beer scene as you, Jordan. But I really like the Nola Brewing. I get it confused. It's the brown ale, I think it is. Yeah, the Nola Brewing brown ale. I tend to like darker beers, but I've grown to like them a little lighter too. So it's not all, it doesn't always have to be a stout and porter, stout or porter. So brown ale kind of combines a little bit of everything, and I don't know. The way they do theirs, I feel like, I just enjoy it the most, probably, of all the beers that I've had from a New Orleans brewery. Let's go a little more broad.
Yeah,
brown ale is real good, even though it's technically not Louisiana, is that Lazy Magnolia Southern Pecan. What up, Mississippi?
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, my favorite from NOLA is their Irish Channel Stout. Like, that's such a good beer.
I was gonna go there. I think that would be my second favorite from NOLA. So.
You drop a shot of Irish whiskey in that and down it? Oh. Oh.
Dang it, now you're making
palpitations.
Yeah, now you're really making me want that. Stop it.
And so like, you know, we're talking about like beer styles, beers, drinks. So really it's, you know, you can always go down to the local store and get you like a six pack or whatever and go back to your house. But how about places to drink, bars to drink? Like, are there any favorite places that y'all have here, like in New Orleans, Hammond, Baton Rouge, or wherever? Like, what is your favorite place to go? Like, what's your favorite bars in the area?
Jeez.
I don't know if I necessarily have a favorite. Like, I have my neighborhood spot that I'm at all the time, but it's not like I love this bar, it's my favorite. It's I'm down the block from here, I can walk home. So as far as like favorite, there's so many good bars in New Orleans. Like, that's a real tough question. Like, if you ask me that about a couple other cities, I can answer that question. But New Orleans, there's so many good bars. It's, you know, this is wherever your friends are at. You know, not to sound like a sappy Disney movie, but the bars are all good pretty much.
Yeah, it's kind of true. And then you can even go like, you could almost go by category. Like, do you want a dive bar? Do you want more of like a club atmosphere, which probably wouldn't be any of my favorites. But,
I'd never want a club atmosphere, Will.
Right. Or you have something that's kind of in between. There's probably a name for that, but you know, something that maybe is a little more upscale, but isn't really a club, and it kind of has more of an
hotel bar. Hotel bar is really popular in NOLA.
Which one?
Hotel bars are really popular.
Oh yeah, yeah. You have the one. Yeah, the one.
That's
with
what
the
I thought when you said upscale.
Yeah, you have like the
Ace Hotel.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, that's. I kind of agree with Trey. It depends a lot on who else, you know, potentially could be there. I mean, if I'm going to a bar, I'm probably not judging it exclusively, at least, on, you know, their selection. It's probably more, you know, the atmosphere. Are they going to have a game on I want to watch? You know, who am I going with? How close is it to where I am? Et cetera, et cetera. That being said, I mean, there definitely are some favorites. I mean, you know,
yeah,
when
I
we
mean,
first
I could tell people, like, you want to, if you're in the quarter, you want to sneak in Aaron Rose, get an Irish coffee. I would suggest that by all means. You know, there's little things I can point out, but I couldn't pinpoint a favorite bar.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you, like, I've done 3 pub crawls all over New Orleans. And I'm just going to pick New Orleans in general because being in Baton Rouge, I haven't found a favorite bar in Baton Rouge. Like, I've been to a lot of them, and none of them really strike me as having much of a personality. And I think y'all know what I'm talking about when it comes to a bar personality. Like, there's certain characteristics of a bar that I look for that I'm like, yeah, this is the place I want to go to. And having been to a lot of those, because my pub crawls are never like I'm going to go to 4 and that's it. All my pub crawls are like, we're going to 10 bars in one night.
Yeah.
Or we're hitting up 12 in one night. Like, so I've hit up a lot and I've been to a lot, and I actually wrote a list down of what my favorites have been through those stops. And my first wasn't really a stop. It's just a place that I've always gone to because it's right next to the House of Blues. I go to a lot of shows there. So after the concerts, we walk over and have a drink or two, maybe 3, and then talk about the show and just roll off. But that's Ryan's Irish Pub. Like, I always have a good time at Ryan's Irish Pub. Same thing with Cooter Browns. Like, I've never had a bad night at Cooter Browns. I like it. They've got a great beer selection, and I dig it. Got some pretty good food. And I'm just going to rattle off the rest here that I like, and if you don't want to talk about one, let's do it. But you know, speaking of bars that are in the Bywater, I like Marquee's, Bud Rips, and J&J Sports Lounge. In the quarter, I like Black Penny, and Uptown, I like Brothers 3 and Bruno's Tavern.
Gotcha. I'm surprised you didn't mention, because I was thinking about it. I thought, have I done one of those pub crawls with you? I feel like I have. But
you did.
I may not remember because it was a pub crawl.
you and Jason did one, and y'all, Jason was just ripped, so you had to help him home.
But yeah, it's the one that's on St. Charles. Like, it's usually known as having one of the best, at least popularly known as having one of the best beer selections.
The Avenue.
That's, yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I'd rather go to Cooter Browns. I like the atmosphere at Cooter Browns better. I feel like their beer selections not as good, but equal. And I think the cost of Cooter Browns is far cheaper.
Gotcha.
No, like I know the owner of the Avenue. Like, she's a good person. She does what she can. She's a hell of a promoter, and it's great to have a bar like hers around.
Yeah.
But it's just not one of my personal favorites, you know, and I don't feel like you can hate on somebody for that. You know, we all like what we like, you know?
Yeah. No judgment here. Yeah. I mean, maybe to answer that question. So, when we first started up doing this podcast, we tried to do it as a, we were very ambitious, and we still are, but not to the same extent. Jason got us set up to do a live show at Finn McCool's Irish Pub. It's over on some banks in between, like, Broad.
Look,
and
if people don't know where Finn McCool's is, you don't really need to paint them a picture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, probably so. That was just in case. You know, you never know. But, I mean, that's a place I've had a lot of fun and interesting times at. so it's a good place to hang, you know. I respect those people, and they have a good business there.
So speaking of bars, like, if you go to a bar, what are you looking for in a bar? Like, are you just looking for a place to go hang with your buddies, or are you looking for a place that, like, serves a particular liquor or drink that you like? Like, what are you looking for whenever you yourself are picking out a bar?
Are there any girls here? Let's start there, and then we can go on down the list of how good this bar is. And I feel like that even if I'm in a relationship, I feel that way, and that sounds fucked up. But what I mean is the atmosphere of the bar itself is better when there are women in the bar. If you are in a bar and there's a bunch of dudes in there, that's when fights happen and all that.
So
you kind of need women in the bar, regardless if you are hunting, if you will, or not.
Right. That's fair. That's fair.
Yep. Totally valid point.
Yeah. For me, so one of the things that I haven't really experienced outside of New Orleans that I really appreciated about at least some of the bars in New Orleans is that from time to time, like if you know when to go, you can actually get free food. And that doesn't happen anywhere else. At least that I've experienced. Whether it's going to, you know, watch a Saint game on Sunday or whenever they're playing, usually Sunday, or an LSU game or even if it's another kind of game, but you just kind of want to be in a bar, like, I'm going to try to go somewhere where there might be some free food.
If we're watching a game, I want the sound on. I hate it when I'm at a bar watching a game and they're playing music.
Yep.
I like music, don't get me wrong. But we are all here at this bar for a reason. Like, if it's whatever, you know, a Sunday and the Saints are on a bye week and a whole bunch of games are on, whatever. But I've been to bars where it's Saints or it's LSU or Pelicans and they got it on whatever music. Don't even get me started on the Pelicans. There's been times during the NCAA tournament, Pels have a game on, and I can't get one TV in the bar in New Orleans when the New Orleans Pelicans are playing. This is how we become the Sonics, is all I'm saying. Because guess who would put the Sonics on TV even when NCAA tournament games are on, Seattle. Like that's a red flag. I don't know a single NBA market. The NCAA tournament's the NCAA tournament. I'm not saying don't have those games on. But there's not a single NCAA market where there's bars that don't have their NBA game on as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you would think.
I know you don't see that shit in Houston. Like, if you go, if the Rockets are playing and say, like, the University of Houston's playing on the same day, you're going to have the Rockets sound on while the University of Houston game is on in the background.
I've been to bars and the Pels aren't even on, sound or not.
Yeah. I have two in New Orleans. And I'm like, I'm popping in here because I kind of want to catch the Pelicans game and see what the score is before I move on. What the hell are y'all doing?
Yeah.
Oh, they're playing tonight?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, let's kind of transition a little bit. Talked about beer and bars. And we briefly kind of hinted at this, but, you know, there's more than just beer in Louisiana. And there are a lot of good drinks that are not beer that Louisiana does well. You know, and some of the ones that come to mind immediately are Hurricane. For some reason, I totally forgot about daiquiris when I was writing up the outline for this. I don't know how I forgot about daiquiris. I knew I was forgetting something. I just couldn't remember what it was. But daiquiris, you know, you have Hotty Toddies, which are the rage up in Oxford, Mississippi, which isn't, you know, too terribly far away. Certainly have plenty of Ole Miss people in New Orleans.
What about Terrace Fuel, hand grenade?
Yeah. I mean,
I call hand grenade Terrace Fuel because that's what they're running on.
And the Resurrection on Bourbon. Don't forget about Channing Tatum's boys now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Saints and Sinners. Shout out Channing Tatum. When the hell is the Gambit movie getting made?
I was about to say Gambit. Yeah, y'all know.
Yeah.
He's got more time to make that movie now that he's single. So.
Oh.
Such a shame.
Oh,
you know what?
It's not a shame for him.
It's a shame for the rest of us because Channing Tatum and John Cena both got on the single market at the same time. That's like McGuire and Sosa of Slinging Dick. Fuck that. I can't even compete.
That's just bad enough.
We already had Kenny Vaccaro snatching up every girl in Metro. I'm so glad he's going to leave the free agency. Wait, did he resign? Where is Kenny Vaccaro?
No. He hasn't signed with anybody, so I don't think you got to worry about the hoes running up to him.
He snatched everybody up, man. I used to have a funny story. Now I don't know if it's a funny story or not. I used to have a story that one of my friends got his girl stolen. Not his girl, but like the girl he was talking to in the club. He got his girl stolen from him by Darren Sharper. It used to be one of my funniest stories. I don't know if it's so funny anymore. It's still kind of funny. He might have used actual game.
That's actually kind of sad. I feel sorry for the girl. She probably didn't expect what she had coming to her.
Well,
before the thing, we were like, you lost your girl to Darren Sharper.
Right. But, yeah, so...
I'm not going to say, you know, like... Never mind. I'm not going to say.
Probably better off. But yeah,
I wasn't even going to say a joke. I was just going to like clarify something, but it's one of those things where if you clarify it, it just makes it worse, and it's like, all right.
Yeah, so probably better off just to leave it alone. and then another favorite of mine, it's not unique to New Orleans or South Louisiana, but it seems like it maybe do it better in New Orleans is the Bloody Mary. Are you all a fan of Bloody Marys?
Why not?
Yeah, sure.
They're
good. I like booze.
Okay. I actually do have a funny story about that. I'll make it quick. So I was at the Saints game a couple years ago. It was actually my birthday. And another friend from California who was there with me, he had never had a Bloody Mary before. And so I give it to him, like, to sip, you know. And he's just like, you know, his lips kind of pucker up and he gets this, like, grossed-out look on his face. I was like, what's wrong? He's like, that's disgusting. And I just didn't understand because, I don't know, New Orleans Bloody Marys are just amazing. But
no, like, me and my wife will, like, make Bloody Marys on Sundays, like, pretty regularly. You know, while either she's cooking and I'm making the Bloody Marys or vice versa. Like, we're having Bloody Marys for breakfast. And I need that Bloody Mary for breakfast because I'm hungover.
Well, how do you make your Bloody Mary?
with the Zing Zang Bloody Mary mix.
Okay.
And yeah. And I usually have like some top shelf vodka though. Like I'm not trying to humble brag here, but we're not a Taka family.
Tito's works just fine.
Yeah, I feel like for a Bloody Mary that would be one time where you wouldn't need the greatest vodka, but you know, whatever. To each his own.
Yeah, no, you always go vodka in a Bloody Mary.
No, of course you put it in there. I'm saying you don't necessarily need the greatest vodka. But
I'm not saying I'm splicing Grey Goose in there. I'm just saying I'm not I'm not pouring like Albertson's Frost vodka in it.
Well, yeah.
You know,
fair enough.
They're sitting Rouse's special vodka going in there, you know?
It's only at the jalapeno vodka. That goes good for Bloody Mary.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds really good.
And that's what I was trying to get at, is like, there's some special recipes, like you know, vegetable-infused vodka. My family does that, and it's, yeah, those are some good Bloody Marys. But, so what's y'all's favorite, like, and favorite, I would say, more or less unique to New Orleans, non-beer alcohol. Alcoholic drinks.
Non-unique to New Orleans?
You more or less unique to New Orleans.
Unique to New Orleans.
Yeah. They did, but that isn't beer.
Well, I mean, it's Fazerac, obviously.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. A favorite?
The mint julep got of New Orleans? I don't even like them. I don't know why I'm asking that.
Yeah. They're, back whenever the old Absinthe House was a thing, I went there and I'm like, I want a mint and julep. And it was disgusting.
It doesn't sound like it would taste mint and julep.
No, it's gross. I guess I'm going to say, like, what, a Pimm's cup? Maybe? Forget it. I'm going daiquiri.
Daiquiris are good, yeah. But like, you gotta pick your daiquiri now, though.
Yeah. I'm always for a white Russian daiquiri. Like, that's what I always order. Unless I really want to get bliss, and then I'm ordering, like, the 180 octane or something like that.
Yes. There you go.
Like, I'm not gonna beat around the bush. If I'm gonna get diabetes from drinking a daiquiri, I want to make it worth it. So I'm gonna get the 180 octane.
Yeah. If I'm not doing that, if I'm doing my neutral daiquiri, I guess we'll call that, because I think everybody does the 180 octane. What, like, what's your neutral daiquiri? My neutral daiquiri, I mix the chocolate and the banana. I call it a Harambe.
They've got a name for that, don't they? Like a dirty monkey or something like that. Like, okay.
Even though, like, also, gorillas aren't like associated with banana. We were drunk when we thought of it. When we rolled with it.
Yeah.
And it was right around the time of Harambe, so you know it works. R.I.P.
Yeah. I dig it.
He can have as a drink in his name.
So, like, so we've gone with favorite New Orleans drinks. And I know New Orleans isn't famous for, like, a shot in particular. But if you were going to order a shot for somebody that you liked and not someone that you're like, I'm ordering a bar rag for, what type of shot are you ordering? Are you ordering just, like, straight, like, Jack? Or are you doing something fun, like those green tea shots that Jason sent in the chat? Or, like, a lunchbox or something like that?
Well, depending on
the terms of someone you like. If it's like a buddy at a bar, like person you've been chatting up for a bit, you know, you had a nice good sports conversation. Probably do like a shot of Jameson, something like that. But if it's like a girl, that's kind of a test in itself. It's going to be tequila, because if you're able to drink that, then I really know that I like you.
Well, you also kind of know what's happening after she takes that tequila shot, too. I know what you're going with this.
Sounds like Trey really finds women to be important when it comes to alcohol and the beer scene.
Who doesn't, Will? Who doesn't?
Yeah, breaking news. Water's wet. Fire's hot.
Oh, well, yeah, it just came as a surprise to me, but, you know, I live under a rock.
Well,
no,
I was saying, well, he said you're shot for someone you like, and I go, well, the someone you like can be two different things. So there's different answers for that.
Yeah, I actually didn't hear the, question, and I was just trying to make a joke, so never mind.
You didn't hear the question? You're not even paying attention?
Did you not hear me go out?
No.
Like the... Yeah, technology is not being our friend again.
So, if you were ordering, Will, if you're ordering a shot for somebody that you like, what are you ordering?
Well, do I like them as a friend or not? I would probably go with like kind of a mid-range tequila. You know, something that's not crap, but I'm also not buying them the most expensive shot of tequila on the menu.
Like an El Jimador, something like that.
Yeah. We'll take that shot and we'll see if we want to do another. But I mean, you gotta have the worm in the bottom of the shot glass, or else it just doesn't even count, you know?
Have you ever done that scorpion shot at Lucy's, where they got a scorpion in the shot?
Whoa, no.
Yeah, bro, Lucy's and CBD. It's, I forget which tequila they use. It's tequila, though, and there's a real deal scorpion in it. I did it on my 27th birthday, and you get a t-shirt with it, and I got so drunk on the night of the birthday, I didn't come home with the t-shirt. I have no idea where it went.
Looks like we're going to have to do that again.
Yeah, I remember it. So if you're like, how was the scorpion? Like, I'm like, I have no idea, guys.
Actually, I was a friend. I'm friends with a guy who... he is close friends with a guy whose family is in Vietnam, I believe. So he brought him back a bottle of liquor from over there with a scorpion in it as well. And we've taken shots of that. And I've done shots with a worm in it. I've drank like small batch mezcal before with worms in it. Like I'm not afraid of any of that stuff. Like, if it gives me the craps, then oh well. But I tell you, if I'm ordering a shot for somebody, like, I want it to be a fun shot. So I'm ordering probably like a lunchbox or something like that. Something fun. Like, it's not like the biggest.
What's a lunchbox?
So it's beer and orange juice mixed together, and then you drop a shot in it, and it tastes really fucking good.
That sounds disgusting.
It does, but it tastes better than it sounds.
Like, that sounds like the second worst thing you can do with orange juice, which the worst thing is drinking orange juice right after you brush your teeth.
I was about to say that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that's the worst thing with orange juice.
Well, I'm a big fan of dropping shots into glasses, I think that's like the coolest thing you can do. Like, I don't know why. I'm entertained by Boilermakers. Like, I think it's the coolest shit ever. So, like, if you're dropping a glass of liquor into another glass, I'm all for it.
Interesting. Well, there's one other form of adult beverage, if you will, that we wanted to briefly discuss, and that New Orleans has does pretty well and has some notoriety for, and that's coffee as a beverage, and it's actually past 12 o'clock now, so it's Saturday, and man, I mean, it's time for coffee, kind of. Not really. Not until after. Yeah, not until after we wake up, but, you know, whatever. One, do y'all like coffee? I guess that would be the first thing, because if not, then this conversation might not go anywhere.
Yeah, I do. I drink it at least usually once a day at work. Sometimes I skip a day. It just all depends on how I'm feeling. But today I had 3 cups and I felt like it didn't do anything for me because I couldn't wake up for crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have drank it. I will drink it again at some point, but I'm not necessarily a coffee drinker. Like, if it's there, I'll drink it.
Okay.
Not a regular routine for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, and there's so many different angles you can go with coffee. I mean, a lot of people do just drink it. It seems like to get that, you know, morning rush or whatever that I think is mostly psychological. I don't have science to prove this, but I don't think it's so much to do with, you know, what's in coffee, the caffeine and all that anyway, but.
Well, it's
so,
a social thing too. I've noticed particularly like in the city, like in cities, it's almost like a morning bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was more the angle I wanted to go with it anyway. And so, like I said, New Orleans does a couple different kinds of coffees or versions of coffee that, again, aren't necessarily unique to New Orleans, but they definitely kind of stem from or are popular in New Orleans. And so the first of those, you know, might be the most obvious, which is Café au Lait. And if you don't know a lick of French, that just means coffee with milk. and so, Jordan, what do you think about Café au Lait?
That's my first foray into coffee. Whenever I think I was 12 or 13, I was allowed to drink Café au Lait. So, my mama, being just like old Southern, not a New Orleanian at all, but raising that old South type of a poor person from Baton Rouge, they called it coffee milk. So I was like, cool, I'll get coffee milk. And it was, you know, half coffee, half milk, because I wasn't used to it. And I loved it, man. I thought it was some of the best stuff I've ever had. But nowadays, I'm not a huge fan of it.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, so now as an adult, would you say it's overrated, underrated, properly rated? I don't know.
It's
proper.
Maybe nudging overrated.
Okay.
It's a kid's drink.
One. Okay. It's a kid's drink. Interesting. I like Café au Lait from time to time. I think it does go well kind of as the in-between almost between like hot chocolate and coffee. Like if you want to have a beignet, which I know that sounds very touristy, in and of itself, but whatever.
And speaking of R.I.P. Morning Cole.
Wait, what?
Morning Cole, you know, the other beignet purveyor.
Sorry.
They closed down?
Yeah, well, they closed their Fat City location. The only other location that they had was in City Park. And then that location didn't have its lease renewed. Cafe Du Monde actually got the new lease. So there's no more locations for Morning Call.
Wow.
Damn.
That's...
Yeah.
So Cafe Du Monde basically has a monopoly on the beignet market now.
On the beignet market, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not
the other.
I said I'm not opposed to that. I like Cafe Du Monde. If they got more locations, maybe the lines will be less.
You know, I
maybe.
Actually like.
Maybe it'll be
better.
Like Chick-fil-A. It doesn't matter how many they make, it's going to be a line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually have a good point to say, man. Good points to take points. But I thought Morning Call, I thought the coffee was a little better, more flavorful, and I thought the beignets just had more oomph to them.
Yeah, I remember.
Technical term there, more oomph.
Yeah, very, very, very technical there. I remember one. January 1st morning, I was all by myself, and I went down to Morning Call because I lived not far away, and that was how I spent my January 1st morning. So that
good morning, good
that,
morning. Sounds good.
Yeah, that memory is now. Well, you saying that makes me sad because it brings that up, but anyway. The other kind of, and this is actually, I guess you could say a coffee flavor or a bean, but that's somewhat at least unique to New Orleans, and that's chicory coffee.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Put hair in your chest and your balls.
So for those who may not know, what makes chicory coffee what it is, Jordan?
Okay, well, you're using chicory, so that's the difference. Chicory is it's a plant that grows, so you're using the roots of the plant to make coffee with, and it's usually more bitter, more earthy, and an overall stronger flavor than you would just regular coffee.
And so how do you like your chicory coffee? Do you like it black or do you put anything in it?
Well, I like my coffee. I don't care what type of coffee we're talking about, chicory coffee or regular coffee. I like it like I like my women strong and black. So I don't like to taint my coffee with anything.
Gotcha. So I guess last question on that, perhaps. Of the different kinds of coffee, where does chicory rate? Where does it rate or rank on the coffee pantheon?
Like for me personally,
second.
I feel like it's only those special mornings that call for strong coffee, like a chicory blend will give you. And some mornings don't. Actually, a lot of mornings don't. But that's why I tend to go with a between roast and medium roast.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely a fan. I don't have as much experience with it, probably as you do, Jordan. But yeah, the times I've had it, I've enjoyed it. Now I do have some piping hot coffee takes. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
Pun very much intended. yeah, so late, well, ever since I moved to Dallas, I've been intentionally without a car. So I take public transportation, and I get up early in the morning. So lots of times, if I want coffee, I got to go to like a 7-Eleven or a gas station. And what I've found is gas station coffee isn't actually that bad. Does that make me less of a coffee snob?
No.
Am I a heretic?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, the gas stations up here, like, there's a chain of gas stations up here in Jersey called Quick Check, and there's, like, 12 different coffees there.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's a regular coffee shop. It's a gas station, technically.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the same thing here. They have probably 6 different blends, so you can choose. And yeah. I know for some coffee snobs, saying that would be like, oh my gosh, like you're going to burn in hell or something. So I wanted to get y'all's opinion on that. Here's a maybe even hotter take. And yet one that I feel like some people, and I feel like y'all will probably agree with me, on Starbucks should just give up on coffee.
Yes.
Because in reality, their best product is actually their protein breakfast sandwiches.
I really can't say for certain how good their protein shots are in the morning, but I can say that their coffee always tastes like they left it on the burner for about 5 hours too long.
Mm-hmm.
So I think their coffee tastes like absolute dog shit that's been set on fire. I don't want to drink their coffee. No, sir, I do.
Yeah. I've heard that that's actually intentional. In a sense, not that they want it to taste bad, but it's intentional in the sense that apparently all their roasts are actually just brew them the same because they want that consistency that whatever coffee you buy, you're getting essentially the same thing. And so it's almost like the Starbucks brand or whatever. I don't know. Which doesn't really make sense to me, but apparently that's their thinking, and business-wise, I guess it's working for them. But the last kind of, this isn't really a hot take. In fact, it's not a hot take at all. But something that I was made aware of probably a year, maybe even 2 years ago, and then I've heard more about even recently, is something called bullet coffee. And if you're not familiar, it's basically just, I mean, you make your coffee however you would normally make it. And then instead of putting sugar or cream or milk, you put a little bit of butter in it. And so have either of y'all tried bullet coffee? And if so, what are your thoughts on it?
Have not.
And I don't even want to think about butter in my coffee.
Well, I have to say, y'all are missing out.
I'm open to trying it. I just haven't.
Yeah. No, that's fine if you haven't tried it. Just, yeah, it's actually, I like it. Probably not the healthiest thing for you, but the butter, the way it kind of mixes into the coffee, especially if it's not a very good coffee. Like if you're having, you know, heaven forbid, a Maxwell House or a Folgers or something, then I would definitely recommend it.
Maxwell House tastes like somebody brewed and put coffee grounds in a container and then peed on them.
I mean, especially like if you have to save your coffee, this would be a good way to do it. And even with a more average or decent cup of coffee, I feel like it would only enhance the flavor. It's something I enjoy. If you haven't tried it, I would recommend trying it. So those are all my hot takes. That wasn't really a hot take, but maybe a little bit. Do y'all have anything else you want to add or anything else that you feel has been missing from this discussion?
No, I think we've about covered it, man.
Trey, anything that you got to get off your chest? Or are you off to go see a lady at the bar?
I didn't know if this was only a alcohol related podcast or if we were going to talk any sports or not. So other than that, I mean, no.
Yeah, we're going to do sports the next podcast, and I know we got a lot of sports to talk about.
Yep. Yeah, Kawhi kind of killed the LeBron to the Pels dream, didn't he?
Yeah, I saw that he might be coming back to Cleveland.
Oh, I don't buy that for a second. But I guess we'll talk about that in the next podcast, won't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have lots of Pelicans talk. Maybe we'll actually even talk a little bit about the draft. I don't know. Seems like no one's excited about that. Understandably,
well, because the Pelicans don't have a pick, and they're not buying a pick either.
Well, they have a second-round pick, don't they?
Who cares?
Well, I'm telling you, it's an opportunity to get our Draymond Green. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, prospects have gotten better in general. Malcolm Brogdon's second-round pick, Dylan Brooks. It's a good player for the Grizzlies. He's a second round pick. It's not a guarantee that the second round pick is nothing like it used to be. Like it's gotten deep enough that you can find people there.
Yeah. I feel like this is a pretty deep draft. It may not have any superstars, although again, we could talk about that, or there certainly could be lots of arguments about that. But it feels like a deep draft to me, at least.
Yeah,
there's a couple guys that are projected in the second round that I legit like want on the Pelicans.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If I have a vote, I say that we need to devote at least a couple minutes to that in our Pelicans.
And we also have a wrestling pay per view this weekend too. So.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that, but. We'll devote some time to that if you'll want to talk about it. So those are a few of the topics that we'll discuss in our next podcast, which will be more or less solely about sports. So until then, all the Louisiana ways to say goodbye and see ya and have a good one and good night. I'm tired. It's almost 12:30.
Yep. Au revoir.
Peace.
See ya. Mm-hmm.